how do I build something that makes somebody want to work here for a lifetime? And ultimately, even no matter how long someone works somewhere, they're devoting their life to it. It's the time people spend away from their kids and their family and their friends. And, you know, those communities are the communities we spend most of our time in. So it's, you know, almost twice as important to make sure that they're ones where we can find joy and we can find a sense of purpose and passion and a sense of mission.
Culture first.
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 I'm your host, Damon Klotz, and you are listening to Culture First, a podcast where you'll hear stories about why being intentional about your company culture can create a better world of work.
Cleo Wei describes herself as a friend and a community builder. She's the author of best-selling books like Heart Talk, Poetic Wisdom for a Better Life, and Where to Begin, a small book about your power to create big change in our crazy world. Cleo's also got a new book coming out in May, and we're going to make sure that there's a link to that in the show notes. From the data we collect here at CultureAmp, we know how important it is to give employees a chance to be heard, give feedback, and share stories about their experiences at work. Creating space for these conversations is important in the workplace and society at large. When we create the space to come together and learn from each other, truly amazing things can happen. One of the 2024 workplace trends we identified in our first episode of the year is the idea of a commute-worthy experience. At the heart of this trend was asking companies to truly think about what type of experience they want people to have when they come to the office. When I interviewed Cleo, I asked her to tell me about the Are You OK booths that she created as a way to help us all connect in a disconnected world. And then we go deeper on the idea of how to create more of that inside of a company. I believe that if we truly hear what Cleo has to say, we're going to have a much better chance of creating workplaces that justify their employees' commute.
You know, we're living in this time where we are, you know, whether it's socially or politically, we're really saying to people, it's time to be seen, it's time to be heard, it's time to speak up. But then we have to remember that in that, there are some of us who have to take responsibility to see people and hear them and listen to them when they speak up. And so much of building community is about what you actively put into it. And then there's a flip side of it that's about what you receive in community, because when someone has a gift or they have a talent, it's only as valuable as their ability to be able to place it somewhere or for it to be seen and heard. And so I think that when it comes to why I created something like the Are You OK booth was because we were telling people to speak up. So I wanted to be there to listen. And I think that equally in a company, if we're saying that your mental health is more important than ever and building a company culture where everyone feels valued and feels like they have a purpose in the company, then who's going to listen when it's time for someone to say, this is where I feel like my purpose really lies, or this is where I feel like my value really lies, or this is how I really want to share my gifts. It is about giving and it is about building, but it's really also about receiving.
And you've created a physical space for people to come do that.
Yes, it looks very much like a lemonade stand.
But with just the power of story.
Yeah.
And helping people be heard.
Yeah, I set it up in a public park. It's free, and I do it for about 10 hours, maybe once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I think, of all of the projects I do, it's my favorite one, I'd say.
When I first read about it, I was like, this is exactly what more companies need, like listening to their employees, letting their stories be heard, but ultimately like taking action on what they're hearing, right? So it's one thing, like if you hear the same story over and over again, you're like, I actually need you to do those small changes that's going to help you get better. Do you ever feel like, how do you help people after they've told you the story to actually go do something that can maybe help them tell a different story next time?
Well, actually last summer I did the booth in New York, and the one thing I kept hearing over and over and over again was how lonely people felt. And it didn't matter whether it was a 14-year-old or a senior citizen, it didn't matter if they were single or in a relationship. It was almost every background, gender, age, every person told me that. It was maybe of everyone I talked to, 80% of the people said, at some point or another, said that to me. And so I remember at the end of the day, I kind of called the people I worked with and I was like, you know, I think what I realize we need to do is create spaces for people to make friends. Because when I thought about it, I also looked back at my book tour, which I had done earlier in the year. And I remembered realizing in that space that about 70% of the people were coming alone. And so in the fall that year, we actually added about, it was like a 15-day tour through small towns across America. And it was, I mean, I created a talk for it so that we could have something that the community was organized around. But the real purpose of it was a talk for about an hour, and then it was about 4 hours of community time. And people made friends, and I sat and I stayed and talked with everyone. And from that, people formed women's groups, because it was mostly women who attended. They formed these kind of women's groups to support each other and be in each other's lives all around the country. And that made me so proud, because it was a way that I was able to listen to what I was hearing and then think like, okay, I see the problem and I understand the need. And when you understand not just the problem, but also the need, then you really kind of understand what you can do. And so I'm not the person who's like going to start an app about making friends, but I was like, but you know, I do have my words and I do have my poetry. And I do know that if I go to a town, people will probably come to watch me. And so if I build the community time around that, then I can also create the space for people to make friends. So you also have to figure out what you can do in your own way to solve a problem. And I think a lot of the times we try to solve a problem in spaces that are outside of ourselves. Yeah. And that's when we feel like, oh, then it's like too much and we can't even do it.
It's funny that the individual can have so much power in this situation, because similar to you, I went on not a book tour, but like a tour in 2016. We ran 75 events around the world. We turn up to places that the only time people in this community who were trying to understand about how to put culture first, the only time they got together was when like we turned up.
So,
and we're like, what did it take for us, you know, some people from Australia to have this company to fly out to Canada or to fly out to Austin to actually have this conversation? But sometimes it takes someone to lead and actually say like, I'm going to create a space for us to have this conversation. Yeah. And then you realize that people want it and they need it. And I'm sure you said 4 hours, if you were there for eight, they probably would have stayed as well.
You realize that most people are actually just looking for a safe space to be themselves. And I think that if you can provide that, then the connection will just happen. You know, we don't have to tell people to get connected. We are connected. You know, we have to help people recognize our connection. And I think creating space is a really incredible way to do that. It only takes one other person to feel unalone in that. And I think that if we can at least find one co-dreamer in our workspace who has a dream for us the way that we dream for ourselves, and we can dream for them in that same way, it becomes infinitely more possible to be yourself in a space. And I also feel that we teach people how to accept us a lot of the time. And so I think that if you don't feel comfortable being yourself, then there is some kind of room in an organization where we can allow people to understand how to accept us, rather than shutting down and feeling like, I'm just going to go here and get this done and then leave. I feel like if you're just getting through your day every day, then I think your life's going to move way too quickly past you.
Yeah.
And so I do think that it's important that we have joy by cultivating joy in the workplace. And I don't think that that can be done by going it alone. So I would probably say connect, even if it's just to one person. And then I think that the habit and the spirit of connection becomes something that is easier and easier to tap into in a culture.
If this conversation has left you wanting more, the link to this full episode is in the show notes. I'm Damon Klotz, and the Culture First podcast is brought to you by the team here at CultureAmp, the world's leading employee experience platform. Learn more about CultureAmp by heading to cultureamp.com. We believe in creating a better world of work. If that's important to you, please subscribe and leave us a review to make sure that you don't miss a future episode.